Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Evelyn's Corner.
If I've made sure to make sure the stream goes out to the right playlist, it should be.
Yes, what people affectionately keep calling Starman and the Zoomer. Once again, I get a lot of questions about Trig. We've not fallen out. He's just off doing stuff. He's been playing a lot of tabletop games. He's just generally enjoying being away from politics and the news as much. So that's that. Again, people, I always address it, but that's to answer the Trig question. He is still both a part of the channel and still welcome on the streams. He's just doing normal things,
He's
which
doing
is
trick stuff,
he's doing Trig stuff,
as
which is.
tricks tend to do.
Yes, which is commendable. I think a lot more people need to focus more on their immediate areas, because we'll be talking about a lot of I want to say guff and punditry, but we're going over a lot of stuff we may have missed just to kind of address it, get stuff out there. And a lot of people don't read the random comments we put places, so it's good to have these things because as we'll get on to in a little bit, we do get vindicated very, very often these days. It's kind of funny.
I'm also here.
I was gonna say, yeah, I've done the initial intro. Go on.
I'm just being silly. No, it's well, just other things happening last week and then doing sort of family stuff over the week, so we're just kind of a bit busy. I think the streams might slow down over the next couple of months. I mean, there's going to be a good one later on this week. Not to say this one won't be well, but sort of following week after I'm away to the Mises Institute, if
I'll
people
try
don't
and
already
sort
know.
something out. Yeah, I'll try and sort out like a classic. We might try and dredge up some of the old stuff me and Trig have talked about. I have like a harebrained scheme of like where are they now for some of our stream stuff that we did, kind of predating a little bit your involvement with the channel, and then just have a look at some of the classic streams that people keep stumbling onto. I keep getting comments on these and people being like, wow, this is only a year old, but it's like a time machine. So I'd like to, it might be cool if Trig's available to try and do that kind of a little meta stream,
If
maybe going.
time permits, I will try and phone in live from the Mises Institute.
We'll have to try and get time zones working with that, but yeah, that'd be good. It'd be good to have that just in general. Or maybe I could just record something we could play back from you. Since you will be at, God, it's next week, isn't it? No, next week. It's the week after next, sorry. It's less than 2 weeks, which is going to be a very interesting one. Oh, God, we do have quite a lot of stuff to go over here, but it is quite scattershot. Is there anything we need to shell beforehand? I keep meaning to finish some stuff on the writing front, but it all keeps becoming stems for different stuff.
I don't know. I think that's just it's something we sort of I think I suggested the other day. Kind of maybe sort of hit the books for a little bit, deal with some other stuff because obviously you're busy with your work in general, and I'm sort of busy sort of doing other stuff, and I've got reading to do, and
Yeah,
if
it's.
the writing stuff I think always comes out best when we take a lot of time to think about it.
And I've been procrastinating with some of the stuff that I know what I need to write. It's just gonna get done. And I've been very bu I've honestly been very busy and barely had time to keep these regular streams going, to be honest. It really does take it out of you having a full-time job, especially when it's like 31 degrees today, I think. Pretty warm here. So we're sweating through it. We're sweating through it for the good of the news cycle. Hopefully we can provide some commentary that isn't just the headline barking I've criticized in the past, where people follow the headlines like they're a dog trying to see off the mailman. Arr, go away, BuzzFeed.
Oh, where should we start then?
We should probably go over a few of the things that we were right about. We're not going to talk about these things in detail. You'll notice there's them conspicuously missing bits from our thumbnail because there's the stuff I want to talk about more in depth is like the crypto stuff and the geopolitics stuff. But yeah, as we both predicted, Musk isn't buying Twitter.
Yeah,
Never was.
it's almost like I put a message on Telegram like 2 or 3 weeks ago, if not maybe slightly longer than that before actually, suggesting that this was all just a way to crash Twitter's stock value. But hey ho, maybe do you know what? What do you bet he's had shorts on it?
Possibly. I don't know. That'd be very illegal. That would technically be insider trading stuff. You can't really do that, but maybe I think that what happened is that it is a bit of a bid. I think that Musk may try and launch his own social vertical that'll end up integrated into Meta, because a lot of his stuff, like we talked about previously, Tesla has bet on the metaverse. So there's no lose situation here. Either Musk does buy Twitter, it's an inconsequential decision, it just gets folded into that stuff, or it wounds them because they have to provide a whole bunch of documentation, and transparency isn't good because, as everybody knows, Twitter is largely bot traffic. It's been an open secret for
Well,
years.
this, you also kind of need to put it into perspective and understand that, like, Twitter is an order of magnitude smaller than Facebook, just as the
Oh,
one
yeah.
entity. And then if you add the people who don't cross over on Instagram and Facebook that have unique accounts on one but not the other, there's probably another 500 million people on top of that.
To put it in national terms, it's like Luxembourg to Germany. It is ridiculous how much smaller Twitter is.
So the fact that people are, I don't know. I mean, it was mainly a very certain crowd of folk that follow this sort of stuff anyway, as you would say, headline barkers and whatnot. Elon buys Twitter, starts civil war. We who were, oh, this is going to be the turnover for free speech
We're
on
gonna
social
get up.
media.
We're
No, it's
gonna get it,
not, because
guys.
the vast majority of social media usage is Facebook. So.
You had supposedly like dissident people describing Twitter unironically as the online public square, and talking about the neutral marketplace of ideas, and it really just brings back that like return to fresh prince instinct of all of these Daddy Musk is going to save our free speech retards. Like all of them
Oh.
just need to be gassed, and this highlighted that it has been so horrendously cringe, and it's really separated out the people from who is worthwhile and who isn't. Because if you consider this some sort of major event that was genuinely paradigm shifting, and it's really gonna happen, guys, he's gonna do it. His eyes like you are either doing this cynically to get them
But
clicks,
do you know what?
or
There are
you.
two types of people. There are people who use the word epic, there are people who don't, and that is all. But
Yes.
you've chucked one in here from the British Medical Journal about monkeypox. Is this the whole thing where they're
Well,
coping and renaming it because they've once again said you lot will think it's about black people because it says monkey, and it's like, well, no one really did that
it.
yet, but we will now.
Oh, it's the whole thing. We're making a joke. We made a joke about it offhand like a month ago, long before this was announced, maybe a month and a half ago, where I said, it's basically purely West Africans, and you get it through like unprotected anal sex with West. It's like it's basically like the it's paused the disease. Like it's even more
I
so
was
than
going to say
AIDS.
Sweden, the disease.
Yeah, it is Sweden the disease, and I was quite surprised it took them this long to cotton onto it. Because I think it might have been like a week after we said this, the WHO was like, well, we don't know what to call it. But we'll call it something. We've got it. We'll think of a new. We're trying to rebrand it. We've got a focus group, got a PR firm. They're locked in a room as we speak with a whiteboard, furiously gesticulating at it. they'll. It's like how the Wuhan flu, had to be renamed
I'm sure
because
what
they
they'll do
couldn't.
is they'll call it Wog-Wifter syndrome, and then they'll
Well,
put up a mission successful banner and call it all done.
Wog woof does. It's like one of those like stupidly long medical names. It's like what wog woof does, like Kleinberg disease or whatever.
Creutzfeldt's Jakob's.
Isn't that when you drink too much probiotic? That's terrible.
And then also this, which I saw someone share this on Discord earlier on. I just thought this
Oh no,
was.
I need to make a. Oh, you need to zoom out on that one. But yeah, I'm gonna say they're just gonna settle on calling it grids.
Grids, yeah.
little reference for the people in the back there. But yeah, this was I did have a very sensible chuckle at this. For those who've not been following it, and it actually took me longer because I'm not on Twitter, and my first contact with the story resurfacing was people complaining about it on Telegram.
Yeah, no, I think like Raheem Kassan and all that kind of mob are massive on this. Your Red Ice TV and all like the really good clickbait stuff. They're all about this. And it's just like one of those things, like it's. I think I was sitting in somewhere else. And I think I've said this thing to a few people today, actually, because people have been talking about it. Like, don't go anywhere near it. Because it's probably not true. And even if it is true or not true, it's probably going to be images of children in indecent situations. And it's going to be a way to basically lock up distance who would go looking for this stuff. Who have seen.
Yeah.
Because I remember seeing last week Telegram bots showing up in channels, tagging fake WikiLeak, channels to go follow that are just spamming like complete nonsense. Like, not even like boomer QAnon stuff where it's so schizo that it's funny. And that they've had to think about it. It's just nonsense. And it's like, what Hunter Biden did? What? It's this bloody Daily Mail and Heat and
Yeah,
almost sort of level
no, didn't
stuff.
you hear? They decrypted it on 4chan and they're leaking it every day. It's
If not
finally gonna
4chan?
happen, guys.
4chan? That guy again? Are you kidding me?
Who is this 4chan?
Yeah.
It's anyone who was around knows you don't touch this stuff. You don't download this
No.
stuff. Don't touch the poo. Just leave it be. It's yeah, just don't go near any of this stuff. And even if it is all true and it's all out there and everything's 100% verified by King of Paul, because it's forged. Anyway, God, there'll be like three people who get that reference and they'll be like, oh, damn it. It all got verified. Even if it is, like, nothing's going to happen. Like, what are they going to do? They're going to arrest him finally? Like, do you think that's going to happen? Are you waiting for the system to kick back in? It's finally happened,
Yeah.
guys. Democracy's manifested.
They
People like
arrested
that
one of the
terrible.
paedophiles.
Yeah, they did it, guys. The pedophile who had his pedophilia all over the front page news for years has been arrested as a pedophile. We did it, guys. Big mission accomplished banners will come down. It'll rain Hunter Biden dicks for like 3 days in celebration.
People will be
There'll be
framing the
dick
picture.
confetti. Yeah.
My
The
boy,
cock that.
that's the rod that restored America.
Oh, yeah, the rod that saved the West.
Oh.
The real God rod.
And then, oh, you watch the streets Donard. I watch the skies.
Yeah, I'm really not quite sure what to make of the death of Shinzo Abe, to be honest. It feels like you talked about. It feels bigger than it actually is, and it kind of feels like filler content. Because
Yeah.
you talked about this being like a wrestling season.
Yeah, this is like we're getting the, I'm digging deeper and deeper into the Vince McMahon thing. I like seeing things through that lens more and more because then you're
Yeah.
really understanding what the role of the propagandist is. And
It's
like,
like the death of a beloved character from a couple of seasons ago to
yeah.
give the mid-season slump undue emotional weight.
Because you better prepare yourself because we're getting like, as I said, it's middling matches. Maybe someone just gets disqualified, and that's a little bit of drama. But
Yeah.
SummerSlam and WrestleMania are just around the corner, so pucker up.
I mean, I don't even have an image for it. I'm gonna mention it in passing because people get mad if we don't, but like the fake choosing of the next prime minister is so fake that we're not even gonna talk about it.
Yeah, we're just gonna say Nadeem Hazawi is gonna get it because that's our secret pick, and then leave it at that, and then go on to the much more interesting topic, which I don't know if you've maybe got an image for it handy, but like, what is with that weird, like fake duct tape, like blunderbuss thing that this guy used to shoot Shinzo Abe from, I'm no firearms expert, from quite a considerable distance. It didn't look like he was firing just a single projectile. I'm not getting all, Grassy Knoll
I
and
don't know,
whatever
like,
else, but things just seem weird.
there's,
That's all I'm saying.
yeah, it's like, I've got it here, actually. I did have one ready. I hadn't realized I hadn't posted it, but
Some
it's,
someone in chat is actually asking a more serious question. I don't know, man. Have the feelings this could shift Japanese politics? It probably will, because Shinzo Abe was one of the few people in that region that was not totally allied with China, but also not totally subservient to the US, whilst also being able to somewhat keep South Korea at bay. Not South Korea, North
Yes,
Korea.
he was a Thatcher-like figure, but in all the wrong neocon ways as well. In
Oh, no,
the financial,
entirely. I'm not saying he's
yeah, in the
like
financial
a.
industry ways, in the immigration ways, like it's very fake Reagan Revolution stuff. He was not a return to, he was not a
At
true
least
Japanese nationalist as the left says he
it
is.
wasn't like a an embarrassment to these people entirely.
Yes.
In a certain sense that way some of the leaders are here, where they're just a complete and utter like shambling wreck.
Yeah, they also carried like a weird 9-barrel thing out of his apartment as
Oh no, I
well.
need to make sure I can get the I need to get the close-up image of the assassin with a weapon. I've got that handy. This is an exclusive, by the way. People will not see this elsewhere.
That's God, that's such an obscure reference, an obscure movie, but it's always nice to see John Malkovich and stuff. So
There we
I'll allow
go.
it. I'll allow it. That is just a screenshot from Cyberpunk. I'm sorry that like I don't like this is this just on the face of it comes across so fictional. I have a hard time believing that the last image there.
Nothing personnel, Shinzo, though.
Oh Jesus! The back end of YouTube now has little nudge comments saying this would be a great time
Yeah, I
to
just
insert
saw
an
that as
ad
well.
every 15 minutes. Fuck you, YouTube back end. Nobody likes you. God, the 9-barrel thing is straight like prop. It's kind of weird. I'm not quite sure what's going on with it, but I don't know. It's hard to determine whether or not it is just the churn, the chaos, or there is more behind it. As we talked about with the Sri Lanka stuff, which is all over the news, just because you can't see the strings doesn't mean there aren't strings. That's another, again, we're not going to go over it because it's not worth going over, honestly, because the agenda isn't quite clear yet.
No, I think it maybe in future though, because I was someone had asked one of the groups I was in the other day about whether or not there was a certain like a video on how the IMF like screws countries over, and Radlib
We
had
could
kind of.
make that about Sri Lanka, yeah.
Well, I was going to say Radlib kind of posted something about it, but I had suggested to him in future, maybe start of August, some other time, if we can find a slot for it. We could maybe collab with him on that, either on his channel or ours. I don't know. We'll work it out when we get slightly closer too. But I think it's
As
just so that when people understand that, even though it might take quite a while now until some rebel group shows up or whatever they're called, the freedom fighters, and CNN starts posting about them as the good guys. And then you find out who funds them, blah blah blah, and you go through the whole process as people did, like Scott Horton, with a lot of the stuff that happened in the
Arab
Middle
Spring
East.
stuff,
Yeah,
yeah.
it took years for that to unfold. However, if you understand in the first place that the way that organizations like the IMF, the World Bank, American Embassy engagement, how all this stuff, American Embassy bringing Facebook to your country is like a revolutionary act.
Yes, it is. And again, what activates my almonds is the fact that the whole Sri Lanka situation is being pushed on by Western news in English, because a lot of stories around the world, big stories, never get published in English, especially in places like Sri Lanka, from places like Sri Lanka, sorry, is that it's being pushed as a people's revolution from the bottom and
Yeah.
semi-celebrated.
Well,
But
no, a
it
lot of
makes
the.
me wonder what the angle is.
I know I'm seeing a lot of people posting stuff on. They're. It's almost like they've got that Vault 7 stuff working, and they're realizing if they.
Yeah.
It's like the Sri Lanka's hitting. It's the Simpsons meme, and Sri Lanka's hitting the US, and it's the bigger guy and the smaller guy, and it's like, haha, that's how what would be the phrase? Insurrect your government or some crap like that. It's like the
Yes.
Vault 7 memes.
Ah, dear. Well, shall we get on to our favorite subjects then? Which
What?
is
Making fun of the.
continuously bashing crypto because we were doing it before it was cool. But and it has become cool. Now that the HODL is finally starting to collapse, what did you do?
Sorry, one of the. Sorry, I'm moving all the links up. Just one of the archive ones is dead. It's however, it's everyone's probably seen the Boris Johnson thing where he's suggesting 50-year mortgages.
Oh,
and I had
God.
A good giggle at that, because it's basically just him suggesting, well, feudalism, landhold.
I think Archive is going a bit screwy right now.
Yeah, it's like it's falling into space.
I'll give you an alternate link, if that's okay. It's just a normal... let me see what that has got a paywall on it, actually. There we go. I'll get you an iNews link. That's not hopefully not paywalled, but we can talk about that in a second. But it's part of the same kind of cycle, honestly, that we're seeing, of the fact that crypto is completely linked to the downturn in other markets, as people who trade in things like the Nasdaq need to liquidate more of their assets to cover other losses. The crypto market has almost one for one followed the downturn in like the mid market stuff and the Nasdaqs and all those kind of registries.
All I'm saying
so all those kind of exchanges.
Someone called Sam Bankman-Fried. He knows what he's talking about when it comes to money.
Yeah. A lot of people want to crystal ball gaze a bit too ahead, I think.
Mm.
But I don't know. There's been a mini rally, but it's dead cat bouncing a lot, but basically the entire price of certain cryptocurrencies has almost completely been wiped out.
It's more than that, by the sounds of this article as well, if I remember correctly. It's even though this is now like,
oh yeah, I'm giving
people
the background.
12 days old now, or 13 days old, whatever. It's basically like 4 years ago in internet time. But a lot of the actual trading platforms are insolvent because the money they use to leverage against. Whatever they had that was, you know, as you say, standard S&P 500 stuff, or
she's
this fund or
fast.
That fund. No, I was seeing whether or not it was a bop to the article. That's now worthless. So even if the stuff they have in crypto gets a dead cat bounce, it's still worth, you know, a couple of billion. The stuff they use to borrow to buy the crypto isn't worth anything. So lenders don't care, you know, what side of it they hold. It's
ironically. As crypto fluctuates, it really favors larger centralized entities, which is why big finance has got into it so heavily. We've already seen talks of, I don't know if we've got it in here, the Bank of England stuff about the crypto bailouts.
We have covered that in the past, though.
We've covered that previously, yeah.
The whole billion dollar Bitcoin bazooka and all this nonsense.
Yeah. The big, Boris's big Bitcoin bazooka. Brilliant. And the stuff about central banks bailing out crypto as to stop spread of contagion and basically buy it out to be a central bank digital currency. It's kind of funny. I find this one funnier because everyone has known that the exchanges have always been insolvent. Like the crypto exchanges have always been like rickety, shady entities that are like a necessary evil. They've constantly had to talk about cleaning up their acts, and because there was a lot of collapse of them many years ago because they were simply so open to fraud and cyber attack.
We've also got to remember that a lot of these funds or trading platforms, any leveraging that they engaged in during a highly credit-rich environment. Isn't the one we are in as much as we were before.
They are basically undertaking fractional reserve banking without the underwriting power of someone like the Federal Reserve. They have never had, and probably will never have, enough capital and enough quote-unquote physical crypto, to use that horrible term, to actually refund people if they want to go through the exchange. If everybody wants to pull all their money and liquidate all their money at once, if people want to get out of crypto en masse, the exchanges couldn't handle that and they would all collapse. And everyone's kind of always known that. It's always been an open secret that the exchanges are an incredibly weak link, and when bad times happen they collapse and a whole bunch of people's money just goes into ether.
Well, what's the other one you've got? 80,000 Bitcoin millionaires wiped out in the great crypto crash of 2022. So that's all the stimmy money.
Yeah.
Basically.
There's a lot of people out there who were like dot-com bubble style paper millionaires who are now having to rip copper wire out of their buildings.
Was that like? I mean, I'm going to presume this is in American dollars here, so that's $80 billion. That's quite a lot of inflation. That's really handy that you can just sort of burn that all up in an asset that people just seem to buy frivolously.
It's great that all this fake money would disappear and burn away all the inflation, especially from groups that are usually quite rife for kind of spending and frivolous spending. It's interesting as a relief valve, that, isn't it? Like, it's like we've talked about before, that as crypto crashes, it's actually very good for the central banking-based economy because it allows them to write off large sections of the fake money they've created. And by cycling it around and having other fake money organizations involved in it, it makes it an even more effective release valve. I don't think a lot of people quite understand when we talk about that, but yeah, if you've got little Timmy with his stimmy putting his $1,000 into Bitcoin and it halves, that's good for the economy, technically, because of all the quantitative easing. It seems counterintuitive, but in a large inflationary environment with monetarism and the way that the US economy is structured, the crypto essentially burning people's money and them engaging with it instead of engaging in, you know, actual exchange is a help.
They just never learn. Now what's the S&P post worst first half since 1970? Hasn't this got even worse in the ensuing weeks as well?
I think, again, there's been a slight rally. It's stabilized slightly in a coincidental move, just like the crypto market has. It mirrors it one for one. Funny that. It's not quite like disastrous. You know, it's been a deflation of value. It hasn't been a sharp crash, which is why people don't talk about it. But yeah, all that froth in the market, all those record gains people talked about, all that stuff during the lockdowns about, oh, well, the markets are still high and it's not an economic disaster. It's exactly what we were talking about, that they were inflating the value of all these markets for all the printed money. And now reality is asserting itself. It's like the feigned shock about inflation happening. It's ridiculous. Everybody with a brain knew this was going to happen. I mean, we were talking about this a year and a half ago.
Yep. No, lots of people have known, though. It's just a case of how long could they spin all the plates and burn all the money without the whole song and dance falling apart?
The Dow Jones is down, Nasdaq's down, S&P 500's down, the Russell 2000 is down. It's the foam is coming out of the markets. People who bought in at the high point are having their money burned.
And then I think this is some independent opinion one, but there was basically a comment from Boris Johnson who was suggesting, well, if people can't afford houses, we'll just have 50-year mortgages.
Oh, it's all precipitous in that we have a situation in that the new asset that people are supposed to be putting their trust in, which is crypto, has measurably made a lot of people poorer. You have a situation in which the market that people were told to invest in and that their pensions have been invested in during this time has materially made people poorer. Sorry, and you have this...
I'm laughing at this thing from Michael Day. Pro-gay dictators are using LGBT rights as a fig leaf for other human rights.
Oh, dear me. Oh no, the homo fash is real. As you're saying, Plasma Robin Chat, yes, it isn't. It's everything. It's an overarching picture of, well, we've had the party, the furious money printer party during the lockdowns, and now we have the possibly 25 years of hangover in which people will gradually just become more degraded and they'll forget what things were like. I honestly think that this will become a thing. I think that, you know, first of all, when mortgages happened, it was like 10-year mortgages and, you know, 25-year mortgages were a rarity. Low deposit mortgages were a rarity. Interest rates were relatively high.
God. Speaking of Shinzo Abe, they mentioned a thing here, but after an economic crash, Japan's housing market stagnated in the 1990s. Prices fell, but because of wage deflation, that one changed. People still couldn't afford standard mortgage terms. Keep mortgage lending turning over. 100-year mortgages were introduced to encourage home ownership.
Let's embrace this crippling stagflation model that was imposed on Japan. Like, when people talk about Japan being this based homogenous kingdom, it became a capitalist, in quotes, managerial, in reality managerial playground.
I've gone and stolen our favourite word as well. On the one hand, then longer-term intergenerational mortgages sound like a way of democratizing the market.
Oh
But on the
no, that
other,
just.
they appear yet another way of finding, quote-unquote, creative ways to get ordinary people into more debt for longer in order to prop up high house prices instead of addressing those house prices in and of themselves. What does addressing the house prices mean? I don't
Yeah,
think she
how.
mentioned that anywhere else in the article.
It's like a hand wave. It's like, well, we just address the prices in the market. It's like, okay, how?
Address them. On you go, do it. Give them a telling off. You should be
Well,
lower.
it's the Guardian. They'll just say, well, social, everyone, we don't have private ownership. The private market has failed, is the answer to this. And using Japan as a model, again, it was an admission of a failure state. Japanese society is in a really, really bad place
Well,
and has
see,
been for a very, very long time.
in a certain sense, I have no qualms with the idea of like a really low time preference style of mortgage where you do literally pay it off for like 50. Well, maybe I'm looking at it in the wrong way and seeing that as a low time preference, but instead of having to
Right, it's
pay it
high
off
time
in.
preference. You get instant gratification, you're saddled with the burden of it for 100 years.
No, I suppose the thing is, I'm assuming that then the interest rates aren't going to screw you in the long run, but of course they are, and that's why it doesn't work. And I was
No.
thinking of it more in a, the payments are the same, or the total payment at the end of the day would be the same, but you're paying it over longer, as in a.
You know what people had in which they were bonded to the land, but they got paid rather than having to pay for it? It's like a really, really shit reverse version of being a serf. Like if you were a serf, that land was given to you essentially by God and the law, and you couldn't be turfed off it, and you didn't have to pay rent on it usually. It's really shit. It's like paying to be a serf. It's so bad.
Well, see, what annoys me about this though is then people then take this as to be like the, well, this is why you can't have like usury, or you can't have people charging credit, and it's like, well, no, because the this is all just the abuse of a system of,
Yeah.
printing money constantly. Is once you understand that
Though
there is no chaining the whole thing to the ground, that interest becomes a problem.
there will always have to be interest and people who provide capital stock.
Well,
But it doesn't have to be in a completely centralized. People mix up like they have got so used to the idea of a managerial economy they can't see outside of it. And they can't see about how this capital stock used to function and how pre, let's say, like 1920 investment used to work and purchasing used to work. It's just people want to, it's like the people who spit about capitalism and just want to, capitalism's the problem. It's just, well, you have no idea what you're talking about because you've been raised in this gay fake world in which economic planners basically just laugh at you.
The last one. Oh yeah, this is I found this thread relatively interesting actually, because this is, I think we briefly talked about this before, where I think it was in the stream, possibly with Radlib, where I suggested that cars nowadays are not developed to be quality products that provide the utilities a car is supposed to provide you. It actually
Yeah.
first and foremost must serve a purpose as part of a credit instrument.
Yes. You are selling these cars to people who can't afford them, not because you want to sell cars, you want to sell bonds. We did get a super chat though before we get too far into it, which I think is funny. Aurelius Nautilus Caesar says, just saying Japan didn't have its crash until they allowed women to work. This was also when the birth problem began.
Big thing,
I
big
mean,
thing.
they e even more so than the quote unquote the West, they had a much more traditional society. And you are right there. Their complete upending of their social structure created massive amounts of excess labor they had no idea what to do with, and it basically murdered their entire way of life. But that's what getting nuked twice will do to you, and becoming a vassal state of the gay.
But no, the used car market on the brink of an auto loan collapse that could shake the entire industries. Phrase in 2008. Some of this is quite interesting. It's
Yeah.
basically that large funds behind, like when you're on Auto Trader and it says, if it or eBay or wherever, And it says, you know, if you can't afford this, we have these affiliated lenders.
Yeah.
That basically all these quote unquote lenders are, it's all just, you know, it's this junk, like toxic debt. And there's no proper systems, you know, they aren't running the same kind of background checks that they would in a mortgage, despite the fact that some of these people might be buying, you know, secondhand cars that are getting quite expensive now. You know, he goes
I
on to
don't know
talk
where
about
he's I don't know where he's got his numbers from there in the second one, but 4%, where he talks about the fact that only 4% of people have their income verified, is insane. That's mental, sorry, you were saying.
But yeah, basically they're not running the same kind of credit checks you would in a mortgage, despite the fact that the payments monthly might be the same. So they're giving away to everyone on cars that are getting more and more expensive in a time where money is getting more and more tight. So like people just aren't making payments. I mean, if where does he give? He gives an actual stat at some point. Yeah, just recently Equifax, I think one of the largest. I think they're one of the largest car loaning lending kind of firms in America as is. Yeah, they reported that 8.5% of subprime borrowers defaulted on their car loans.
It's amazing how expensive cars have become, though. So you look at historic car prices, you look at like the price of cars in the 60s and 70s, the average price, even for what we now consider like super luxury cars, is like $40,000. And you can buy a hybrid for that. Like
Well, no,
you can buy like
as he goes on to
a
say here, there's a prediction from KPMG that car prices can drop 30% as more supplies hit the market, blah blah blah. So you're looking at the
negative
value,
equity.
yeah, not just negative equity for the people who own the car, because ultimately if they're leasing as opposed to renting to buy, it's actually the fund that has to worry about this now. And this is what happened to
Yes.
McLaren a number of years ago.
It is, yes.
They basically sold people 720S models and said, well, we reckon it's going to be worth only 60 grand less than you've paid for it now, 2 years down the line. So how's about instead of you paying for the price of the car, you just pay us for the difference? Except from when McLaren went to go sell the car from 2 years down the line, the difference was not 60 grand, it was 80 or 100 or maybe
Yeah.
more.
Basically pay for the depreciation, but the depreciation was a lot more than they were factoring in.
And this will be the exact same case. Obviously not on items that will depreciate as much, but on such a wider scale.
It's looking disastrous because it's the only way people can buy cars, as he talked about. Obviously, 85% of car purchases are financed, and that's even on second-hand cars now because of as a lot of people have belatedly talked about, both the scrappage scheme in the UK and the much more widespread cash for clunkers in the US, and here in the UK as well, the various emission zones, which are trying to basically ban vehicles under a certain age, sorry, over a certain age, means that cheap, affordable starter cars, the bottom rung of the market's been cut out. So that's affecting things all the way up. That was an existing structural problem. You have essentially no cars in the UK that are under like 5 grand. Like a working car in the UK is like 5 grand minimum. It's ridiculous.
If you want something that's going to run decent MPG, pass an MOT. I mean, I think you
Not get
can.
hit by emissions charges if you drive within like a 50 miles of a town centre
Yeah,
anywhere.
you couldn't buy a secondhand car today for less than 5 grand that you would still be running 5 years from now, if that's what you mean.
No. No, you couldn't. And but let's say 10, 15 years ago, 100 quid cars were common. You know, some cars that basically were valueless. They got to a certain age that they were still mechanically good and they'd still have a few years in them. But basically, because of there was such a saturation in the market of these low-end cars, you could just get starter cars easily. And a lot of people now lament that entire generations of car have been lost in the US because of cash for clunkers. And it's the
Micras,
same here in the UK with the scrappage
Fiestas,
scheme. Yep.
basically every Ford Sierra that wasn't either some kind of cool XR4, XR6 kind of thing or a turbo, they're all rotten. All the old Escorts, you know, as you said, the things that dominated the roads in Britain as little as 10, 15 years ago still, and now every single one of them's gone.
Well, what we're not talking about as well is that there's going to be a scheme of that nature, but on a much, much, much bigger scale when it comes to the electric car switchover. When your petrol car effectively becomes illegal, they're going to have to compensate people for those vehicles. And they're going to end up in a situation where you might end up with these loans being extended and extended and running on and running on, being offered these weird financial products. And you might end up in a situation where they're trying to buy cars that are essentially dead clunkers for like 20 grand, because that's what the bonds on them is worth. You're going to end up in a weird financial situation where, like you do with housing, that a blank plot of land that has planning permission is unaffordable to your average man. Just like a clunker is going to become unaffordable to your average man, even though it is not a car, essentially. You can't buy not a house in Britain as a normal person, and soon you'll be able to buy not a car as a normal person in Britain. The
Terrible.
yes. It's also t is there any more of the market stuff you want to go on with this thread though? Because it is quite an interesting one.
Not until the other MISC stuff at the end. I know you put in quite a bit of stuff about Russia, Ukraine, so I don't know which. There's quite a few of those there, so I'm not sure which ones you want to go through.
I'd like to rapid fire some of them. JD said, just checked 11-year-old Ford car over £4,000. Yes, I told you. Yeah, it's all so tiresome. But basically, yeah, the car market has become much more like the subprime mortgage market on the back end, and we're going to end up with companies and individuals in negative equity on their £50,000 mid-range vehicles, because you can't buy a mid-spec hybrid these days for under 40 grand. It is ridiculous, but
Well, why don't you just buy an
that's
electric car? They're cheap. Oh wait, they're not.
Oh dear me. Well, I wanted to talk about this because there's a lot of small kind of things, a lot of small, let's say, defeats that the regime has had in the narrative. The first thing we have here is an amount of cope. Because it's very, very clear, the narrative we were sold about the collapse of Russia due to the sanctions is in fact reversed. They have burnt some of their capital reserve. They've been struggling in some aspects in terms of inconvenience, but really what's happened is that the West is suffering, the sanctioning countries are suffering, and Russia really is using this as a galvanizing technique to really balkanize parts of the world away from trading with the West. And there's an article from The Hill here, which is by someone called Edward S. Verona, which is, I did a bit of research on him, and he's part of some conglomerate diplomat consulting firm which talks proudly about how they are made up of let me repost this actually, because he works for McLarty Associates, and I'll put this back on the general chat so you can get it on the screen. But they proudly talk about how we are ambassadors, trade negotiators, White House officials, journalists, intelligence officers. So he's the US equivalent of like a Mandarin who's writing this article, essentially puffing up the chest of the Western narrative and saying, look guys, these boomerang sanctions haven't actually, I know it looks like the opposite's happening. It's one of the classic don't trust your eyes articles. It's one that I know you can see this with your eyes, but this isn't actually happening. He says, yeah, in an era of instant gratification, it's perhaps not surprising that some foreign affairs commentators have expressed doubts about the effectiveness of Western sanctions on Russia since it began its invasion of Ukraine on February 24th. Well, that's what we were told. We were told that.
Wait, sorry, Russia began its invasion on Ukraine on February 20. What do you call it? That bit that sticks out the bottom? Is it Sevastopol?
Yeah.
Or Sevastopol and Crimea? Are they just Russia now? They were just Russia.
Well,
Did we not have a massive feud over this? Like the 2014?
They've had to effectively admit that they are Russia, which is funny. I think that's not even being contested, which is the funny part. There was some fever dream talk of it during the height of the like Zelensky Chungus cope, as I call it. The Reddit Chungus Battalion, the Snake Island Chungus Reddit era
Ghost of
was.
PM.
Yeah, it was so embarrassing that they now have to produce these expectation managing articles. I don't know. I don't think you've got this one on screen yet, though.
No, I've got. Oh, sorry. Oh, I'm really sorry. I left the thumbnail up because I clicked on it to over to the so I could bring the articles up without flashing everyone with the things. Oops.
That's fine. That's fine. No. It's yeah, just the headline. It's despite appearances, yeah, the Russia sanctions are working. I
Yeah,
don't
this
see
is the
how they
sorry.
would
This
or
is the
could.
thing you were talking about before as well. I forgot I had
Yeah.
the McClarty
Well.
Associates
Yeah.
link.
Intelligence officers.
Those are
No,
people I trust.
we know diplomacy. We provide diplomatic solutions. Basically, they're just glowies. They are, again, the security state and Washington insiders telling us what Washington wants us to hear. And that's when you look at any of the people writing these things, that's who it turns out to be. Again, anyone who's been, I don't want to go over
Wait,
it
I'm
too much
sorry,
detail.
the quote next to it. Maybe the answer to $5 gas is higher pay.
Yeah. It's yes, spiral, inflation spirals.
I was wondering
It's
how
funny that
hard
we're
the cope is in here.
there's probably some extremely hard cope. Well, they're redefining the aims. The aim of the sanctions was to collapse Russia in a way that they could no longer maintain their
Yeah,
invasion,
because
and
they're
that
doing like the.
materially is impossible.
Oh no, Russia has to pay more for its imports. Yes, but its exports are cheaper, so more people buy more.
Oh, Russia's defaulting on its debt. It's like, yeah, because you won't let them. They've written off like massive amounts of
Well, that's
debt.
also them just being like that's on a, when you're really starting to look at like the financial geopolitics, you're basically talking about different like gangster groups and different mafias. Is the
Yeah.
Russian mafia to turn around to them, the American Israeli mafia, and saying, "Nah, we ain't paying no more. We don't pay tribute to you." What are they gonna do? They're gonna have a bust up about it. Don't think so.
It's this idea that we need to stay the course indefinitely. And this has gone from a, again, a temporary emergency measure to a permanent state of affairs in which we suffer. We can't pay for fuel, as we'll get to later. The large social housing providers in Germany are cutting people's heat at certain times of day. And it's probably going to start killing people in winter.
The
But it's just.
increase. I'm sorry, just this is quite funny. They're just talking about how Russia's completely swindled all the loopholes anyway, or has swindled
Yeah.
them through loopholes anyway. The increase in global oil prices has somewhat offset those discounts, and clandestine ship-to-ship transfers of oil at sea have enabled Russia to partially evade sanctions.
You just reflag it. Who the hell knows where the oil is coming from? You ship it to Liberia, the
the
Liberians ship
Well,
it out.
this is the anarcho-tyranny. This is how the governments of America and Britain can look at the hard men. And maybe to some extent we even fell for this because we never looked further to think about it. Grant Shapps, Transport Secretary, we will not take Russian ships, blah, 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 blah. But we will take Russian oil in different ships. They get to, it's almost like a limited hangout kind of thing. They get to play the hard men and look like they're playing hardball with Russia and this is really what we're going to sacrifice when actually the oil's still arriving. The reason for the inflation is not necessarily just the sanctions on Russia, and they're willing to do some wag the dog style perception stuff to
Yeah.
create some reasons for the inflation that they can give to people now whilst they're starting to get really desperate for.
Oh no, it is it. The idea that this is what's causing the inflation is something that we should never buy into, I agree, and it's not something we should entertain even. What's happened really is that it's made it's boomeranged on the West, not in the financial sense, because you're right, honestly, this really isn't having a huge effect either way. It isn't grain. Them goading them into this war that is making them suffer is what's caused a lot of problems with the food market. We'll see that bearing out. But in terms of the paradigm shift and how it makes sanctions look like a paper tiger, because they are, it's really reduced people's fear. We've seen like the full soft power gambit of weapons be brought to bear. There's, you know, 40 billion there. They're essentially burning their capital in Ukraine, and they're not seeing much for it. They've had a slowed advance, but not a stopped advance. All the stuff about 60,000 casualties is ridiculous. It's very guerrillian at this point. And as we're going to see, every time they come out with a new red line, it shatters, and they bring out a new red line and it shatters. And it's become this embarrassing parade of, empire of lies being borne out, really. That they are coming up with all of these ideas, they come up with all this propaganda, and then reality immediately takes a massive steamy shit on it. A lot of people seem to think that, you know, you're on the side of the Russians. It's just like, well, I'm pointing out reality. and if pointing out reality, you know, makes it Russian propaganda, then maybe you should reconsider how you perceive the world, because you are, like, mentally retarded.
No, anyway. Just need to understand how Russia-centric and Duganist the concepts of truth and reality are, comrade.
I don't know.
Two more captured Britons charged by pro-Russian rebels. Did it not turn out that one of these guys was an actor or something?
Basically, yeah.
And it's all just a big PR thing anyway.
It's like people joining ISIS.
Yeah.
It's like if these people genuinely did join up to go and fight in a foreign war, and then the people whose town that is find these people, yeah, you're going to get executed because you are essentially a foreign mercenary. And like, it's like, what did you think was going to happen? See, you fucking idiot. You went to fight in a foreign war that the people you were convinced were invincible are now losing, and you got captured. Maybe you should have had, you know, the bravery to kill yourself or something instead of being paraded with propaganda. It's I have no sympathy for these men.
There is one of two things. Either these stories are completely fake, or
yeah, I'm gonna say this is the limited hangout
to hide the fact that Westerners have been paid large sums of money, probably by groups like the AIC.
Yeah.
Whoever they are. I'm sure they hire mercenaries for some politically neutral reasons. And as generally happens with these kind of, this will be basically them, it's either, as I'm saying, nonsense, or this is them getting ahead of the boat of other things and rumors coming out about these people and what they were up to.
Oh, it's an open secret that this was happening. Well, it happened very openly in Afghanistan and Iraq, that we had these Western mercenaries who were hired, who generally went out and like raped and killed people, and a lot of them had a very embarrassing things happen because they were essentially hiring very mentally unstable people to go and do dirty work. This happened in Syria as well. You get a lot of quote unquote private security that was hired to, you know, bring aid, and it was again just these mercenaries who ended up essentially working with ISIS. And the Obama administration did a lot of that, and it's the same kind of thing. You have these NGOs who are bringing in, you know, medics and you know aid workers and things, and you know, they're heavily armed aid workers who are again mercenaries, and they thought they could essentially get away with this. They weren't expecting one for it to go on this long. They're either expecting a rapid victory or a rapid withdrawal, and two, they weren't expecting this to come out. They weren't expecting really for the propaganda to get so shattered in the public sphere. It's like with the COVID stuff. If you ask people now what they think about it, they'll have different opinions than they did even like 3 or 4 weeks ago. I think there's a lot of embarrassed turning away from looking at the whole Ukraine thing, because Western people have been pumped full of this narrative so heavily, and reality has not borne out, and they are now just confused and I think slightly internally ashamed of buying into it.
Yeah,
you
probably
do not see the veracity of Just what's the right word for it? You don't really see the jingoism that you saw
Oh yeah,
a
they
month
use
ago.
this to guilt trip people as well. I mean, look at the way Tony Blair's talked about, and you have someone like Frankie Boyle who's like, Tony Blair was a war criminal, and you all voted for him. Yeah, it's just they'll do the same with this kind of stuff. It's like, well, such and such a leader took it as Ukraine, and you voted for him. As if you voting would change whether or not geopolitical agenda
Gonna
of groups
vote.
above and beyond your supposedly sovereign nation, that your vote influences what they would do.
Well, we've talked about it in the past, it's like the Iraq effect. People who were of voting age in 2003, I think it's the 70-70 split, as we talked about. The 70% of people at the time supported it, that were surveyed. But if you go back to that age group, if you use the same age group, you shipped with them, they were, say, maybe the youngest was 18 back then, the youngest is like nearly 30 now. But if you ask that same age group of people if they supported the war at the time, 70% of people now say no. It's the same kind of thing. Again, you'll see a slightly less extreme thing with the Afghanistan, because people were sold more heavily on the mission, and in some ways that's seen as more of a quote unquote worthy cause than Iraq, which was just seen as a complete sandbox disaster, waste of life. But yeah, it's almost, again, like you consider the you're even talking about, like, it's the Vietnam effect. A lot of people were very supportive of the Vietnam War at first. And if you ask those people, 20 years after the war finished, if they'd ever supported it, they'd all tell you no, because there's this great either amnesia, or it becomes a socially unacceptable position to have supported all these failed initiatives. And yet all they need to do is get those people to support it in the moment.
Yeah,
And
it's the
that's
exact. It'll be the exact same with COVID policy. Even though the world will not change, we will not become less digitally policed than we are. There will be some kind of thing whereby people will see, lockdown. Wasn't that horrible? Why did we do that? And it'll be so blasé and so part of the over-socialization that it's become the acceptable thing to say. And that if you are, we are going to be people who have to deal with the gaslighting of that because you went from being literally Hitler to you want to kill babies and every single horrible name under the sun, you should be arrested, beaten up by the police if you want to protest, to people that are like, well, yeah, of course everyone thinks that. And it happens in a matter of years, and the vast majority of people just do not grasp how much they are just being
Well,
programmed and
they're also
molded.
not willing to apply that lesson to the current thing.
No.
As much as it's like, well, you believe the Iraq War was just. Why do you believe the Ukraine War is just? You were wrong then. Why aren't you capable of entertaining the fact that you may be being propagandized and you may be wrong now? Because the same people are saying it to you. It's the same government. It is the same group of elites. It is the same power structure. But they're not capable of understanding that. But we've seen it happen in like a faster cycle, as a new cycle has got faster, and as these cycles of integration and agitation have got faster, the regret cycles have got faster too. I think we've gone in 18 months through that with COVID. I think the majority of people now would say that lockdowns were a disaster, especially for young people and education, and they would probably be less gung-ho with them. But at the time, they'd be a lot more. At the time they may have been extreme zealots on the matter. But let's go through some more of these links, because there's quite a few of them.
I don't know some of the War Monitor ones here. I've not really looked through these, to be honest. This is a lot of the stuff you picked out. So.
Oh yeah, a lot of this is just stuff that's happened. A lot of it is just the stuff that you the constant cope and guff that you get. It's like, Russians will never be able to take Lyshansk. Everything
All
about it is
right.
difficult to take.
Yeah.
And then you click on the next one. Chechens parading around Luhansk confirmed that the city is now fully under Russian control. They wouldn't be there if it wasn't empty. And what's the date difference there if you go back to the first one? This is from the 2nd of
Thirtieth
July,
of
the other
May
one.
to 2nd of July.
Yeah, it's a month. It's just over a month is the this is complete this is the red line they're stopping. Oh, no, wait, they've taken it. Again, you see it here. I don't know who this guy is. He's some check mark basically, but you get these as very popular posts. He's talking about
Oh God,
which city
read
is
my
it?
latest book, Russia's Crony Capitalism.
Ooh. Yeah, a few thoughts about Russia's war in Ukraine. The Russians have spent a lot of time to seize to little much benefit. The much higher located Lyshansk is far more important and better fortified. Ukraine is not likely to give it up or lose much there. Again, 27th of June, this was the narrative on social media. And yeah, both sides are very quiet about what happens around cohesion. Again, they definitely have lost that as well. Rumors claim that Putin is intent a false flag, blah 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 blah. He's talking about how it's going to be a struggle. They're gonna stop them there. Then what's the next one? I don't think he mentions it actually. But again, it's a city that's essentially already been taken when this is being sent. And this is how like the COPE propaganda mill works.
Yeah, I think
Yeah, this was only 2 weeks ago.
there are some other sources here, but these are archived, I'm afraid.
Okay. Are
Whereas,
they not loading?
no, they aren't.
Oh God, has archive gone down? Oh no. Aaron, just
It went down
Aaron,
a
sorry.
little. But you know,
No, no, no.
you have linked. There's a large source on. I'll get some of the other headlines up in a minute. But whilst I've got this here, you've linked a quite big video on German rearmament stuff. That is strongly related to this, and I would imagine
Well,
NATO's role in the
there's
EU
another
and
link
elsewhere.
by this guy who's finally admitting he's talking about the fact that Ukraine's inflation is it was projected, I think, at 18%. It's actually 21.5%, which is higher than expected and worrisome. You start to see the facade dropping, really. That this is not, even if they do remain, quote unquote, nominally in power in Kiev, this is not a country that's going to hold together very well. It's going to be a massive money pit. To be kept on life support by the West. Essentially, again, that they have burnt so much of their advanced military equipment there, and to very little benefit. They've created this situation and then promptly kicked themselves in the face. And you're right, one of the big talking points around this is the fact that we're going to get German rearmament guys. The Germans are finally going to take it more seriously since the end of the Cold War. There's going to be this 100 billion a euro revamp. I'll put the long form source in the chat. Yeah, well, you've already done that. Sorry. There's a long form source that you've just put in the chat, which is very good for that. If you guys want to watch that afterwards, I'll also probably put them in the comments as well. It's someone from seems relatively politically detached from it, which is pretty good. It's just got a lot of like statistics and inside stuff, and it's generally just quite a good talk about the fact that 100 billion won't touch the sides. For the
Yeah, I can
German military.
imagine.
And when it comes to rearmament, essentially the German military only exists on paper. One of the things that the Germans are bad at is readiness levels. Their readiness levels are sometimes as low as 20% with certain armaments. They
Little,
don't have many.
maybe this explains the budget increase down at the bottom of the page here.
Yeah.
Separately on Friday, the Bundestag approved raising Germany's minimum wage to 12 euros per hour from 9.82.
Yes,
That'll
which is quite a heavy raise.
probably explain a large part of the budget, because how many people who join the military basically get paid minimum wage for the first few years?
This is one of the larger symptoms with the modern defense industry, though. In that, if you look at the way that American weaponry is made and the way that Western weaponry is made, they buy in very large batches. They have to make it economical. They don't tend to have, as Russia does, lots of stockpiles of mothballed equipment. They are not set out to fight grindy conflicts like the Ukraine conflict has become. And the opposite narrative was put forth about Russia, that they cannot afford a long conflict. But Russia is one of the only military powers in the world who can. That's what they're very, very good at doing. As anyone who studied history knows, Russia always loses really, really badly at first, no matter what conflict you're looking at. They always have this period of stumbling,
I mean,
haphazard mobilization.
if we want to look at losing and winning in regards to how much territory you have won or lost. The Russians haven't lost any territory, I don't think. So
No.
I don't think they've lost at any point really, especially in this in regards to this
No.
situation.
As in, they're underperforming.
Hmm.
They tend to underperform at the beginning of any military conflict. You saw their utter collapse. It's a very similar story with their utter collapse in the face of World War II.
That's why you get two rows of the FSB to stand 10 yards behind you.
Yes. Well, it's what happens is Russia needs to have this mobilization period. It's always quite rotted out, but what they really have is again, they're like a low time preference military, in that they are just look what they did in Syria. That was a long drawn out conflict where it looked like they weren't having much of an effect for a long time, and then basically the West got kicked out. Their interests were completely gone in Syria. Assad's still there. He survived the onslaught of the West. It's something we don't talk about very often. But he really is the no further figure for the Russians. The West's kind of grinding down the Middle East into this chaotic dust didn't work in Syria. They were bloodied and they suffered heavily, but Syria's
Isn't
government is still intact.
it interesting though that otherwise Western forces would like to collapse the only non-Israel, non-Arab nations? Not to say that Syria isn't an Arab nation, but it's not
Yeah.
quite aligned due to a lot of Assad's policy and some of the makeup of the country, in the way that like some of the Arab Emirates states are, or Iraq and Iran and Afghanistan and stuff like that. It's not. It doesn't quite have the same history and lineage as these countries. And it's basically, much like a certain other Middle Eastern nation, it is beset upon all sides by basically imperial forces of Turkey and all sorts. So it's kind of interesting to think about why would Westerners want to get rid of possibly the one link of communication we have with that region that isn't aligned against us in a, theocratic way, at least, amongst many other things.
At least on paper. Yeah, well, it's the next frontier. It's just they just have to keep causing war. It's the only way they survive. Doesn't matter where it is, doesn't matter who it is, doesn't matter if they were nominally your ally beforehand. The machine just has to be fed. And Syria was seen on their dartboard as the next place to feed on after they, turned Libya into a Somalia-style failed state. And nobody talks about that. Like, people just accept the fact that we went in and we ruined the lives of every single
Well, we
Libyan.
didn't even really go in. We parked some boats outside of it and flattened all of its major cities and then sailed away 2 weeks later with the
Yeah.
leader of the country flying a girl with a sword up his backside.
Well, we just went in, like I said, we just ruined the place. It's just, they just went in there. Yeah. Yeah, in long-term attrition wars over complex equipment that cost you less advanced but heavy duty, easily repaired, easy use will win wars. Yeah, it's the problem is that this 100 million will be spent on a very small amount of quote unquote cutting edge armaments, and the Germans will use it to create capability that they claim to have now. They'll use it to bring their existing stockpile of weapons into service. We've been over this slide with the F-35. The F-35 is a great example of Hopper's a procurement of defense problem manifest. Minimum amount of function, maximum cost. You end up with a non-functional $1 trillion aircraft.
Well, yeah, if the role of defense producers is to provide defense for cheap costs, once they are no longer under the influence of market conditions, they will more and more likely charge you more to produce a thing that defends you less.
Yes, and we've seen that in practice. They also are so overly complex that they cannot reproduce in a timely fashion. It's, I don't think that the Western economies, in quotes, have the wherewithal to mobilize in the same ways that they have in the past.
Meanwhile, we
They can't.
can basically duct tape a MiG-17 back together.
Yes, it's about bodies, which Russia has more of. It's about will, which I think Russia has more of, because they're not a fake democracy. I think we've seen a lot of political capital having to be used to essentially gently manage people's expectations about quote unquote liberal democracy
Have
now.
they not spent several years in the news since probably since like the 2000s, really, what goes that far back, painting Putin as this sort of bad guy, mastermind, ex-gangster? He's in with all the oligarchs, he's swindling the Russian people, and he's fooling them all into believing he's the right guy for them, which may or may not be true, but I would put money on the fact that Russian people would much more happily volunteer for their military than people in Britain would.
Yes, there is a much more genuine feeling of nationalism in Russia. They're
Especially
allowed
when
to.
in our fellow European nations, KSK, German Special Forces Company, dissolved due to far-right concerns.
Yeah, this is another big aspect as well, in that the German military doesn't have the most qualified people in it, largely actually because of their equipment shortages. They struggle to train. They don't have the equipment to train properly with. It's a well-known fact that on training exercises with NATO, the Germans have to borrow other people's equipment, like they've forgotten their PE kit. And any serious fighting force, like people in the KSK, like any of the German special forces, they are not from a background that buys into the lies.
Well,
They
yeah,
can't
the
be
only
because they're
people they can
fighting
get
in.
who are physically fit enough to serve in an elite force are already right-wing extremists, just by the nature of the fact that they have to be of a certain mindset to be disciplined and healthy enough to be part of a unit like that.
Yeah, the Germany does produce great equipment. Sorry, I'm reading the chat here, JD, but it's they produce the Rheinmetall gun, which is used on all NATO tanks, or it's derivative of the Rheinmetall gun. But what they don't have is they don't have the manpower. They don't have equipment is overrated, horrendously overrated in warfare. It is not about your equipment. It is not about the type of rifle that you have. Really small arms, especially, are massively overrated in warfare. It's not about those at all. It's about your logistical systems generally, which I admit that the Russians have struggled with, but mostly it's about your will to continue. It is about your will to fight, and it's about having men who have will to fight. And when it comes down to that, Germany doesn't have that. It does not have a population that it has a will to fight.
Well, no, I'm just saying that they were given some example before, but oh, they were listening to extreme right rock music and performing the band and Nazi salute, and then
Yeah.
you've got some other example, some guy in May 2020 was stockpiling explosives and ammunition. Sort of remind me of that guy. Was it Holland or Belgium where the guy went running around with a rocket launcher and he was supposedly going to do this, that, and the next thing, and then the story disappeared?
Yep.
Interesting.
Well, that's the issue I want to highlight with both those links is one, Russia doesn't have the sorry, Germany doesn't have the people, and two, it doesn't have the equipment. It doesn't have either part of that equation. Air power is about tech superiority, but again, if you have planes that have a that are four times as expensive to make as your opponents, but are only three times as effective, you're going to lose. It's that kind of equation. It's the issue of like effectiveness per dollar, really. And I think the modern military equipment has gone far, far, far into like the fantasy land of that. To the point that they are talking about the fact they can't make any more of those anti-tank missiles because it would take too long and cost too much. Yeah, it's the Oh God, archive really has gone down, hasn't it? I can't. Oh no, it's back up.
Yeah, no, it seems to be working now.
It's come back up. But they are having to disband elite military units. They're having to use that 100 million to make military equipment that isn't like they have the same problem that the Russians had in some ways, and that a lot of their military equipment is fake, essentially. It is broken and they pretend it's operational. Because what isn't quote unquote operational differs per country. And these operational numbers may mean that they, you know, what is considered not operational may have an error code, like a card, it may have a bad sensor, or it may be literally inoperable, and we don't know which it is. So this 100 million could really just go towards shoring up
It'll be
the.
making sure there are adverts so that the German people know soldiers or being a soldier is an inclusive role.
Yeah, well, the thing is, again, as I've talked about, and again, I wish people would pick up on this more, the quote unquote industrial military complex is a socialist spending mechanism to shore up middle class wages. It is a creation of technical jobs exercise. It has very little to do with military procurement, and has been that way really since the end of the First World War. They realized that trick.
That's a great way to make massive amounts of your population based on or dependent on technically proficient careers and all sorts of nonsense, and give them career paths and life paths and make sure that they're integrated into the system. Fair enough that the people who serve, if anything, the people who actually serve in the physical military itself are the people who are most likely to break themselves out of that system and not become integrated into it. Merely just by the fact that they've gone, they have served somewhere, they've experienced the world as it is not explained to you in the liberal fantasies, some people say, and that they can't carry on the way they used to before. Whereas if
Well, this is
you
why
work for
in
Lockheed
America and
Martin, or you work for some finance organization that's related to, or all these different arms of it, you are completely integrated to everything that's been global HOMO for the last 30 years.
Well, this is why that in America or Britain, if you are a military veteran of any kind, you are much more likely to be a suspect for a crime. That is seen as evidence against you straight away. I was actually watching something about how fingerprint evidence had gone wrong in certain cases, and the FBI will use the fact that you are a military veteran as a like a risk factor, as evidence that you have like bomb making and firearm skills, like you went to a terrorist training camp, because in their eyes, effectively you did. There's one more Ukraine related link I have there, which is an archive from the BBC. Now that they have essentially lost the entire Donbass and the entirety of the what would be considered the breakaway republics, they've moved back into fantasy land, and they're talking about some sort of like Ukrainian D-Day in which they arm 1 million Ukrainians to retake the stolen. It's just
Yo, this is epic. It's gonna be like Avengers Assemble. Oh, new recruits to Ukrainian army being trained by UK Armed Forces personnel based near Manchester. That'll just be up the road from us.
It will be.
Oh God, it's like me and Jess were watching American Made the other day. The film, the weird US hangout film about, or limited hangout film about Barry Seal, and like obviously they start shipping the Contras into MENA to train them there, and then they all start running away. So throughout the film, the small town is just full of these like Hispanic dudes in military gear, just like cutting about using like the phones and that. Are we just gonna have like Ukrainian dudes wearing loads of DPMs, like breaking out of camps near us and running around the streets?
Possibly. It's again totally not a proxy war though. We're training them in our military bases, we're supplying all their equipment, but this isn't a war between the West and Russia that we are effectively losing.
No, not at all. What are you on about?
Yeah, we still use the SA-80A3, says it all. They seem to be training with AKs though, but again, it's will to fight stuff, and as I understand that they are in a rather large state of collapse. So
No.
yeah, it's going to be some sort of Ukrainian Bay of Pigs.
Yes, I don't know, but this was like some bizarrely honest reporting from the Times. But like Metropolitan Police and
Oh,
hidden
yeah,
figures
we've
and
moved
stuff
into
like
our miscellaneous section
that.
now.
Yeah, from last week. I don't know, there's some relatively interesting stuff about it, because me and you ended up talking about this at the weekend. The analysis for the Times comes after Her Majesty's Inspector of Constabulary and Fire Rescue Service cited that the failure to record 69,000 crimes. So that's crimes that police officers have either been informed of or witnessed themselves, and then not done anything about.
I think we've talked about it on a previous stream, but Greater Manchester Police blamed a computer system changeover for the fact that they failed to record 80,000 crimes. It's a great okay, a lot of this stuff just isn't recorded. It's very kind of post-Blair statistics managing, but what we're sold is that we live in safer societies than we did a
Just
hundred years ago, and that.
the total number of crimes reported in Metropolitan Police since 2013, year on year, that is, we're getting over 800,000 crimes a year.
Yeah.
That's, or even somewhere like London, that's insane. And that's only stuff that's reported. That doesn't cover all the people who just get stabbed in an alleyway and no one hears about it.
That's also what they class as a crime. They,
Yeah.
what, if you'll remember, a whole slew of things were no longer classed as crimes under the Blair reforms.
Non-crime offences and incidents.
Well, those don't get recorded. They get recorded in the hate crime statistics, not in the crime statistics. They do like double duty with them. It's they can choose whether to include them or not. It's
Yeah,
kind of
because
funny.
I think these are the bombshell as well here. Metropolitan Police recorded 77 rapes per 100,000 people in the 12 months to March, nearly half the 131 in the West Midlands, and substantially lower than 113 and 160 in the Greater Manchester and West Yorkshire, respectively. And in the year to March last year, the Met recorded 83 rapes per 100,000 people, compared with 123 in West Midlands, 120 in Greater Manchester, and 134 in West Yorkshire. Which means that, like, there's probably double the amount that are actually happening, even being reported. It's just not, there's nothing's, n there is no justice anymore.
It's welcome to the anarcho-tyranny.
Yeah.
And as everyone has noticed that life is more violent, more dangerous, people get away with things. There is no policing. There is no semblance of justice that happens in this country. And the statistics don't reflect it because these are the regime statistics. And like it shows here, the police can just not record it. They can just go, oh, we're not recording that. And it happens on a mass scale, as it shows here, that they are just that those statistics don't hold up for London. London is a hotbed of crime in all ways, and for it to have nearly half of the recorded rapes that someone like the West Midlands does is ludicrous. It is very patently false. But again, we'll never know because they are deliberately not recording it. They have no interest in it. They don't care. It is an inconvenience to them. That's the real fruit of the revolution of mass and scale, in that like millions of rapes are just seen as inconveniences,
Oh, it's
millions of
just a
robberies are
that's a
crimes.
statistical anomaly though.
Yeah.
I don't know, I just found this funny from CNN the other week, where they're just like, whispers of Hillary Clinton 2024 have started. And they've obviously airbrushed some image from about probably 15, 20 years ago. The
Oh
pantsuit in
dear.
chief.
I don't. It really is going to be like the. It's not even going to be the octogenarian. It's like nintagenarian or something. They're going to be all 90. We're going to have 90-year-olds running for office. It's very clear that they're going to try and cycle Biden out. He's not compos mentis and has not been compos mentis for
Clinton
a
is
long time.
exactly the right person to put steel in the Democrat spine and bring attention to the reality that ultra MAGA Republicans, as President Biden calls them, are tearing apart the nation. Williams writes, adding, "Keep talking and talk louder, Hillary."
Oh dear.
There is another point in here though. Yeah, it's kind of funny. Like, it's almost like the CNN folk are like, "No, we can't do this anymore because it doesn't work. It looks bad on us." Well, start here. The conservative writer is leading the charge, at least at the moment. For another presidential bid by Clinton, should be looked at with some healthy skepticism. No candidate unites the Republican Party, even with Donald Trump as the GOP's likely nominee, like Clinton does. So this may be a bit of wishful thinking by Ellis. Keep that in mind.
Well, like as we talked about with Biden, when he came to the fore, people didn't think it would be him as a candidate. But who else can it be? They haven't, like, the new, even by their own mild standards, the new generation of managerists they've raised is not up to the job. There's never going to be this handoff. They're all going to die in office. Maybe that's where the victory actually comes. All these people just. They all just actually die, and the people underneath them are so inept and rotted out, they have no idea what the fuck to do.
Right down at the bottom here. Then there's the Roe decision to consider. Clinton's comments about not running again came before Roe was decided. As someone who has fought for women's rights throughout her career as First Lady, US Senator, and Secretary of State, might the Supreme Court rulings have changed her calculus somewhat as she looks to her own future? I like how they call it Roe as well. It's like the
Yeah.
historicism must be so thick and full on.
I do not understand how this continues limping on. It's kind of an it's embarrassing, is what it is. For a country supposedly so full of guns and freedom that they just let this perpetuate and they let them export this. It's
Oh
disgusting.
no, it's kind of funny. I mean, we've got like two articles left here, but one of the things everyone seems to be talking about today is that sorry, clear my throat there. Recent article from Moldbug about elves and hobbits and all sorts of other nonsense, where he's trying to use Tolkien to talk about how there's all these elite elves and there's hobbits, and you can't turn the hobbits, so you can't hobbit culture to elves and blah, 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 blah. And some of it's just kind of, as someone else, I think someone was saying the fact that, or was it Charlemagne? I think it was actually saying on Telegram that, most of his articles are just, you don't have power, you need power to get power, and all these different other themes, and he just rewrites them in different forms. And, I mean, but it does show that there is one point that does make all people knee-jerk, which is that the ultimate liberty is the liberty to serve a right and honorable master, because he's right when he says people that Joe Biden are sorry, our aristocrats. I mean, they're shit ones because we won't rebel against them. I mean, people are so like, we're just like, no, he's wrong to call these people aristocrats. They're scum, they're villains, or this, that, and the next thing. But we don't depose them, so who are we?
I also feel like people never read him before and don't know who he is. It's
Well,
like getting mad at a dog for licking its own balls. I don't fucking get it. I don't get it. Like, why are
he,
you
I'm just going to
why are you mad
continuously
about
refer
this?
to him as Tablet Magazine's Curtis Yarvin.
Tablet Magazine's Curtis Yarvin. It's a good way of putting it, because that's what he is. He's
I
like,
can't wait till he's at Shieldon's and I can shake his hand and be like, you're the Tablet Magazine guy, right?
Shalom.
Yeah. Shalom aleikum.
Love your work in tablet. I too think Israel is the greatest ally. Fuck Jesus. Again, what were people expecting? He's an anachronism in the current year. Like, maybe 2007, he has some vitality about him, but like, I don't know why people are accepting him as like this thought leader that's being pushed from the left anyway. It seems fucking dumb, but let's not talk about that again, because it's dumb. It's the whole thing is extremely stupid. This circles around though to the first thing we talked about, which is the fact that all that's happened is a large amount of suffering from these unprepared countries that have spent the last 30 years in denial about the fact that they are able, that there's this obvious attempt by what is normally the West to deindustrialize and demobilize, because they can't keep the shit going. They can't keep the wheels on it. The wheels are going to fall off. So they're going to lock people in their homes, they're going to turn off the power, and they're going to slowly bring things back down again, because they can't keep this going. And it's being framed in the climate way, it's being framed in, the biological way, any way they can, really. None of it's genuine. It all leads to the same place, and they don't have the resources to keep the show on the road.
See, I like
This is
their, Bonovia, which has 55% of its heating supply system supplied by gas. Well, if they used heat pumps that were electric, it's likely the electricity would come from a natural gas station, which means
yeah.
they're all probably powered by gas.
Well, again, the whole heat pump thing's a fucking scam, because people talk about how efficient they are and don't talk about line losses. But oh yeah, let's not have our gas combust at source. Let's combust it 300 miles away and ignore electrical resistance.
Yep. And then what's this, the last one we've got here? Analysis: Euro's 20-year low leaves ECB facing costly choices. But yeah, the euro is basically on a dollar parity now, and you're
We've again, it's stuff that's not been recorded. The markets have crashed. The euro is worth a dollar. All of this stuff is just taken in stride, but we are in a mass collapse. We are. There's no other way to talk about it. We've had a stock market worst stock market decline since the 1970s. The euro is at its lowest point since really it was launched against the dollar. I think at the time it was this low as 2002, and that's really kind of proto euro at that point. And it's very clear that what's being done with the sanctions and the war and the agitation is that the real game here is the fact that the United States doesn't want the EU to be a secondary power center. We see it a lot with how they respond to their chest pumping about, big tech and anti-Silicon Valley laws. And essentially what's happening is that the EU is being brought to heel by this. This is an attempt by the US really to smash the EU, to bring it back into line, to bring it to heel, and they are using a lot of the geopolitical levers to do that. The backfiring sanctions is it's deliberate. No one, either they are so mentally retarded that they couldn't see that attacking the producer of heat and wheat would cause the importers to suffer, or they knew this and they planned this, and they are quite literally just trying to diminish Europe for the advantage of the United States, which has been a very familiar story we've just seen in the World Wars and their smashing of Britain, their betrayal of Britain during things like the Suez Crisis, during things like the Falkland Wars. There's been a real attempt here to stop them from being a secondary power center. And one of the effects we're seeing of this is that the dollar is basically, I don't know, trying to explain it in too much detail here, but the way that the sanctions are laid out is it forces people to buy dollars, really. It forces people into this inflation of the dollar, which is masking some of the worst of the inflation in America. When the dollar bubble pops, and this is a bit of a bubble for the dollar, it's going to be very, very, very bad because you're going to have another spike of like 10, 15% inflation on top of what's already happening. But as we see it right now, the policies of provocation into this system, into the lockdown responses and the frivolous wars has caused Europe to start to collapse as a financial center. And one of the better indicators of that is the fact that its currency is now so debased. You talked about the fact that they'd be better at exporting now, but what the fuck does the EU export?
That's true, but they probably charge fees in a lot of the financial services they run, so I would imagine that's now relatively cheaper if you're paying for if you're originally moving dollars or riyads or whatever crap into Europe.
Yeah, it's the problem is that it's all currencies that seem to have declined. Well, not all of them. Some have declined more than others, but the pound and the euro have definitely suffered at the expense of the dollar, and I think that's been quite deliberate. Certainly the ruble hasn't suffered, but that isn't traded on the international markets. You can bet on the ruble in Asian markets, but that's like proxy betting. You can't actually buy and sell euros. You can only kind of bet on it. There is no like manipulation that can happen to it. It's actually quite well insulated from all that. You couldn't have a situation like what happened in Britain, where someone like Soros shorted the pound. You couldn't.
No.
The America couldn't just short the ruble. It doesn't work like that. And yet they are kind of depressing the euro. It's going to start getting quite painful because a lot of things are paid for in dollars as the reserve currency. This isn't just really about your holiday money. It's about the fact the dollar is the reserve currency, and therefore everything that the EU has to buy in dollars is now more expensive. You still there?
Oh, yep, sorry, I just had to reopen a Google tab. It was doing
Oh no, dead air.
stuff. Apologies.
Ah.
Sorry. I'm just trying to think if I've got anything else. There is a big developing story at the moment, which I don't know, it's something people are talking about at the moment, but maybe we'll need to come back to once some of the dust has settled about fertility rates now that there's been a rollout of vaccines and data and pregnancies and all sorts of stuff, and that all looks very, very bad.
It does. It's getting a bit chilled the men in some places.
However, instead of going looking at that stuff, I'm going to recommend people follow this link, which was posted by Charlemagne in his Telegram a few days ago. And it's if as long as you can get past the bugmanism from the guy that's been interviewed, who is working on, or is it one of the engineers that works with Google's Lambda software, and is basically trying to tell this guy that AI is now sentient and we're past the singularity and all this kind of other stuff. But his position on it is really strange, and it's going to be really good context, I think, for the stream that we will be doing on Thursday with Todd
Yes.
Lewis.
Yes, that should be good fun. We'll be talking about, well, AI, won't we? Which should be a good laugh.
I'll get
I've also
some.
linked the Telegram in
Yes.
the chat there. Is there anything else we need to shill? We
Not that I can think of. We'll probably yeah, because we'll probably have a stream Thursday. Not too sure about Monday, and then next Thursday I probably need to get an early bed. So I'm not sure about then either. But maybe we'll get something done in the middle of next week. See.
We might be able to stream like Wednesday or something, but I don't know if we'd be opposite somebody or we'll work something out. We'll
Well, I
try and
think
get I'd be try and get two
we might
things
have
out a
something
week, so.
on Wednesday, so
Oh yes, of course. We may. But yeah, again, thank you guys for coming. This is just more of a news roundup. I've tried to be good at, I think I've answered all the super chats and
yeah.
stuff.
Well, we had a decent for the fact we haven't streamed for a few weeks and whatever else we didn't get much cheering beforehand, but there seems to be the best part of 100 folk have showed up. So thank you all for being here. Thank you to the people who are members, those who super chat, those who when, I always mention it, but I always enjoy seeing it, and I even if it doesn't happen that often, every once in a while it's nice to see when I see someone be like, oh, does anyone know about this subject? And people will post
Yes.
a link to one of our streams.
I do see a couple of our members in the chats there. I do see S. Smith. At some point, I'll have to actually have the wherewithal to read off our members because I like doing that. But right now, the YouTube backend is not being kind to me. I'll remember that next stream, though. I've made myself a note. But yeah, it's good to do these occasionally just to keep up with the grander picture. We try not to do too much rank punditry, but you need to also contextualize things and not be too detached, otherwise people can't interface with the things you're talking about. It's a fine balance, but I think we do okay with it. I certainly don't want to be somebody who's trying to chase the metrics with certain
No.
popular stories, because that's how you end up in a YouTube treadmill situation where you become very cynical very quickly. I mean, we also have no illusions that this is going to be some form of employment anytime soon, especially in a YouTuber capacity. Good Lord. So I will just say thank you guys. Be skeptical about the headlines, especially be skeptical about anything that seems to be meant tailor-made for you as a distant to engage with it. Get the laptop meme back up if you can. But yeah, if you, no, it's fine if you don't get time before I end it. But yeah, come and join us on Thursday. We'll try and keep updated whether we have anything else later next week. And yeah, good night.
Yep, good night. See you Thursday.
See you Thursday. Ugh.